Hey, we are going to be jumping back into our series going through 1 Peter today. Real quick, I just was reminded there's some people that are at the marriage conference over in Coeur d'Alene. And so what I'd like to do real quick is, can we just pray for the marriages of people and just pray for our marriages here? I just want to take a moment just to pray for those people and then we can also pray for our marriages as well. Lord, I just want to thank you, God, for the people that are over at the marriage conference right now, Lord. I pray that you would build up and transform marriages for the sake of your kingdom and for your glory. Father, I also pray that for the marriages here, Lord, that you would protect them, guard them, and guide them towards a life and transformation. Father, we need you even in the mundane aspects of our lives, and that includes the day-to-day of marriages. Lord, I want to thank you for the single folk that are also here, Lord, that they participate in this body in the beautiful way in encouraging us and loving us well. And Lord, I just pray for married couples that they would not see single people as the outsiders, but they would bring them into the fold, into the loving community of the Father. So God, would you help us to remember both for the marriages and for the single folk that we are a body working together, and so we need you to transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not much of a gardener. I don't know what it is, and I feel like my house is the place where green things go to become brown things. And I don't know whether it's me or my wife or the both of us, but the reality is for us in our family, when it comes to gardening, it's oftentimes a fruitless endeavor. So let me just give you an example. I'll push against my own self, actually. I did experience having tomatoes this year. Big win, right? But I also experienced having zucchini. I didn't know that zucchini could get so big. And I didn't know why, like, at every church I went to, I always had, like, moms or grandmas come and say, would you like a zucchini? And they came and gave me a club of zucchini. But now I know. It just meant that, like, they got hidden behind those ginormous leaves in the zucchini garden. The other thing that we tried to plant this year is tomatillos. So tomatillo, I love to make salsa. I love especially tomatillo salsa. And so we got a tomatillo plant. And if you're gardeners, you already know probably where this is going if you ever grown tomatillos. I got one tomatillo plant and I planted this thing. And boy, did it grow. I didn't even have to do much. Because we got two garden beds out in the back of our yard, and the people before us were obviously gardeners and have like 85,000 strands of tubing for watering, which is a blessing. But also I realized, like, I don't know the half of where all these tubes have come from. So like, I'm just like, water, I know that's part of gardening, let's put it down. Well, this tomatillo plant grew and grew and grew and grew. Not one single tomatillo plant came out of that. And I was trying to figure out, why in the world does this thing keep growing and growing and growing, at least has the perception of growing, without having any fruit? And what I found out is that you needed to plant two tomatillo plants. They need each other to help fertilize and grow and create fruitfulness. And I couldn't help but think about that as I was preparing for this message today, because a lot of times in our communities, we can get caught up in trying to grow just by ourselves, and we can live trying to just grow on the nutrients of not engaging with one another, but find ourselves living fruitless lives because we need other people to help us be fruitful. Amen. Right? We need each other. The fruitfulness that we experience doesn't just happen on accident. It is something God does in us, and then it happens in community around us. And as strangers in a familiar land, the series that we're talking about, the experiencing spiritual hostility in a familiar land, a lot of times what we need is the people of God to come around us and for us to cultivate a community of love. And that's going to require cultivation. That means there needs to be gardening work. And by God's grace, it's not just like gardening in my backyard. There's a lot that is built into the Word of God that can tell us, as we live in a strange land where we stand out from the rest of the world because we've chosen to believe in Jesus, even though this world is familiar to us, it is strange because we experience hostility as a result of our belief in Jesus. And our communities are going to experience hostility. So the big question we have to ask is, how do we cultivate a community of love? So I'm going to share with you today three requirements to cultivate a community of love. Three requirements to cultivate a community of love. First, that love requires seeding. Second, that love requires weeding. And then third, love requires feeding. Excuse me. Love requires seeding, weeding, and feeding. And so we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. So let's open up our, if you got a Bible or a digital version of your Bible, feel free to open up to 1 Peter. And I'm going to just begin by reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says this: "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." So we begin by looking at a passage here where Peter is referencing back to chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. And when he looks at this, he begins this with a now. That means it is, because this is true, let us practice this. So what is true that we know? That we have a living hope in Jesus. And that we are called to live out our spiritual lives out before God in holiness and fear. And as we do that, that's our vertical relationship with God. What we're going to see now is Peter go to our vertical or our horizontal relationships with one another. And so the first thing that he hints at is this idea that we should live our vertical relationship with God according, we should live our horizontal lives according to our vertical lives. So let me continue this. I want to make sure that we read this whole section. Look at verses 22 through 25 as well. "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." So we've been brought into this new community. How did that happen? What is it that happened that has brought us into a community of believers? Well, it is because, as Peter says, we've obeyed the truth. Now, when Peter does this in 1 Peter, he is always referencing obeying the gospel. We have said yes to Jesus and his life, death, burial, and resurrection in our place so that we could walk in his righteousness. And when we see this idea of being brought in, we have obeyed the truth. This is, in the Greek, it is a perfect tense. That means it's a decision at one point that has ongoing ramifications. You see, when we believe the gospel, it wasn't just to get ourselves out of hell, But the gospel is supposed to have ongoing ramifications in our life. And one of the primary ways that the gospel has implication on our day-to-day lives is that since we've been justified through our belief in Jesus, we are called to love one another. Actually, the gospel, if you check out the language here, the gospel has given us the ability to love one another. Like, we can't even love without Jesus well. And listen, you can look at the world trying to figure out what love is. And they'll say all sorts of things about what love is, and they can't figure it out. And yet, we know through the gospel what love is. Love is sacrificial in nature. Love is the means by which we've experienced life and that we can experience life together. The gospel is the means by which we understand community. And so Peter now tells the believers, hey, here's the first command I want you to do in your communities. Love each other deeply. Love each other deeply. I was curious about this word deeply. It actually, some of your versions might say fervently. And for this word, it literally means to stretch or to strain yourselves. Think about in that context of love. Random fact for you. Did you know only 47% of the population in the United States can touch their toes? Think about that. 47% can do that. Now you might be saying, Brolin, that's because look at your stature. You're all torso, no legs, and you can touch your toes. That's not fair. But the reality is 53% of the population cannot touch their toes. But it is possible through stretching and straining over different seasons and stretching yourself out, you can eventually touch your toes. You know, the thing is as Christians, we believe on some level that when we stretch and strain ourselves, that we can stretch and strain ourselves for the people that we like and love. But it's going to take a lot of stretching and straining sometimes to love people that are hard to love. Think about it. In this world, we have all sorts of believers in this world, and we are coming into one of the most divisive seasons on the face of the planet, political season. And never are Christians more divided than over times during the political season right here in America. And a lot of times we will be quick to look across the hall or the room and share, oh, I can't love that person. They believe this. Let me tell you something. Jesus loves that person. And he calls us to be in the community where we're stretching ourselves to love the people, not just that are easy to love, but to love the people of God. He didn't give ifs, ands, or buts. He just said, love these other people. So no matter whether they are friends in school or people that you don't get along with in school that are believers, you're called to love them. No matter whether they're somebody that's got a high education or a low education, you're called to love them. No matter whether they are left of the hall or right of the hall, you're called to love them because we are called to love one another deeply, to stretch ourselves in love because we have a Savior through the gospel that stretched himself out on a cross to love everyone under his name. He reached out in love on the cross and said, anybody that came in, that comes and says yes to me, I will give them life and community. Are you stretching yourself in your love? Are you loving the body of Christ or just the pieces of the body that you like. Because the call is to love one another fervently. Why? Why should we do this? Well, Peter answers this in verses 23 through 25. He tells us that we have been born again. Peter is now using the language that Jesus used in John chapter 3 to remind the people of Asia Minor that they have been born again. This is not a common occurrence in the Bible where the born again gets talked about. You see John talking about it in his Gospels and in his writings in 1st through 3rd John. But now Peter is bringing this up. And he says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. The reason why we're called to community is and to cultivate a community of love is because there is a love that has been planted. There's a seeded love that has been planted in this garden of believers where the gospel has been seeded in us, where now, and it's not a seed that's going to wither and die like flowers and grass. Do you understand that the gospel means life eternal? And that means community eternal. That means we are now called into a covenant community that is going to last well past when the grass withers and the flower fades. Yes. Here's what we need to recognize. The gospel has brought us into a sacred community of people because this imperishable seed, that is the word that is preached to the people in Asia Minor, and the very word that's been preached to us through his gospel has brought us into covenant community with one another and has planted this seed that will not wither or fade. That means that Jesus, in his work on the cross, did the first act of saying, hey, here's this gospel seed. If you plant it in your hearts, that is the first act of cultivation. And in cultivating a community of love. The gospel is the seed that is required for us to love one another deeply. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. If you're a believer here today, I want you to remind yourselves of the gospel and what the implications of that mean for the people sitting next to you. And that's specifically within the body of Christ. If you're here today and you're like, I don't know if I'm a part of this body. I don't know if I'm a part of this thing. I want you to know that Jesus loves you and he wants to be in relationship with you. And all you have to do is say yes to Jesus to say, I believe that he was risen from the dead, and confess in your heart him as your Lord and Savior, Lord and Master. If you do that today, you will be participating in the new imperishable seed. You will be born again, not like the old way of living that's going to perish and fade away, but into a new way of life. And not just life, but life eternal. And that means life eternal in community with one another. Amen. So, if in order to cultivate a community of love, if love requires seeding, and that seed is the gospel, what else is a requirement to cultivate a community of love? That brings us to our second point. Love requires weeding. I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I was gardening. I didn't know that plants, like that you actually want to grow, are such a long, tedious effort. But I tell you this, you go into my backyard and you want to know what is live and well? These weeds, man. It was so crazy. We recently went over to some friend's house, the Johnsons, and we walked over to their house and we walked into their yard and it was like mini Manitou. Like, it was beautiful. And as we walked in there, we seen all these dahlias, and it's just beautiful. And it was clear that the work of weeding had been taking place. So we're like, we went in to have dinner, and we're like, how do you keep this up? And she's like, it's because I love to do it. It's my hobby. And this weeding out to create beauty is what we can do to cultivate a community of love. Listen, he gives some very clear words for us on how to cultivate a community of love. Go into chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, what do we do with therefore? What's the therefore? Therefore, right? We're asking, why is this? Because this is based on this previous thought. So based on this idea that you've been born from an imperishable seed, since this love that needs seeding, here's the next truth. And listen to this. Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. I guess Peter didn't know that we would be reading this in 2023 in the era of Twitter and Facebook and all these things, because this is not the kind of community that we live in the world today, is it? He says, therefore, rid yourselves. This is the way we do love. Just like Jesus said that there's going to be seed that would be scattered, that grows, that goes into shallow soil, and then it grows really quickly, but the cares of this world, the weeds of this world, choke it out. What Peter is telling the believers here is that you need to now take the things that marks you as part of the worldly community that you're once a part of, root them out, get rid of it so that you resemble a community of love. Because malice and slander have no parts in the community of love. You know, here's the thing. We've sometimes our world gets so blurred that we can get caught up in the ways of the world while loving Jesus and trying to love community. We can, you know, it's like looking at hypocrisy, and we can see that hypocrisy is played out in the church, like telling somebody you love them and you care for them, and then talking poorly about them when nobody's around, when they're not around. You see, because we are saying that we love, and our actions are saying something different. We could say that we love somebody and then cut them down with words that hurt. That's slander. We can say that we love them here at church, but envy what they have. And that's not what is supposed to be a part of our community. That needs to be weeded out. And why is that? Well, let me share this. My wife and I love to go out to eat at times, especially on dates. And one of the things about our dates is we've made a commitment, this genuine commitment in our marriage. And it's this: if you look across the table and you see a piece of broccoli stuck in my teeth, you're going to tell me about the broccoli. You're not going to let me move a single inch until you tell me about that broccoli stuck in my teeth. And there's been plenty of times where that has exceeded those things. One of the things that I often ask Stephanie to do, and you'll never know it because she looks at me when I'm praying for you sometimes, and she's like, your fly's down. Thanks. And it's because, and here's the reason why. It's because she wants me to be a good representative of our family in front of other people. She wants me to represent well within the community that we're in. And here's the reality. If we are practicing malice, slander, evil of any kind, envy, all this stuff, the reality is that that's like us walking around with broccoli in our teeth when it comes to our Christian identity. We're not representing ourselves anymore according to the identity that we have in Christ. You see, if the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, thank you, Sunday school song, that now I can say those all in one fell swoop. If we are believing that we can act one way and then walk around with the broccoli in our teeth that is called malice or slander, whether we are going around and we're calling foul names to people, we're saying that people are this way and it's not a true statement. If we are deceiving in any way, we are not walking in the kind of identity that Jesus called us to walk in. And here's the problem. The world is watching us. The world is watching us. And they're seeing if this is the kind of community of love that they want to be cultivated into. You see, for the people in Asia Minor, they were experiencing hardship because they were just normal, everyday people in modern-day Turkey. And then they decided to be disciples of this Jesus guy. And then all of a sudden, they stopped gossiping with their friends. All of a sudden, they're like, no, I can't do that. Wait, what? Girl, you got to tell me, how are you doing that now, you know? Why are you doing that? Like, all getting good and stuff? All of a sudden, the slander parties that we have about people that we work with are things that we say, no, I cannot participate in that anymore because I have a new identity. Because I have a new self. I've been planted in this new garden that has been cultivated in love. I will not partake in the weeds of this world. Yeah. But the problem is, sometimes we like the weeds of this world. We find joy in the drama of slander, malice, hypocrisy, and the like. By God's grace, this is why we need the community. Because if I go right back to the story of me and Stephanie in the restaurant, if I didn't have her looking out for the good of me, I would more often than not be walking around with something unbecoming stuck in my face. And this is the truth for our communities. If we are not brave enough to look at each other and caringly cultivate, which sometimes means confront about sin that is in our lives, we will not look any different from the world around us. If any of you were able to join us for our disciple nights on these last 2 weeks, we talked a lot about this. And man, I don't know about you, but it was a blessing. Because it made me have to confront tough truths in my life where I've been convicted in my own life. And this is the stuff that's the most difficult when it comes to preaching, because that means I have to deal with me first. And so, as a matter of fact, this Wednesday, I had to share with the youth group and confess with the youth group that, you know, one of the things that I believe is that you are what you tolerate. If you tolerate these kind of sins, you're likely going to be a participant in these kinds of sins. And I had to look at our youth group and look at them and say, I'm sorry, you need to forgive me because at times I've tolerated the name calling and such because it was fun, it was joking, and we could usually cover it up with a just joking. But the reality is, especially within the body of Christ, a just joking doesn't mean a canceling of words. And you see, most of these words here in 1 Peter, or most of these descriptors have to do with how we talk in community. Are your words cultivating a community of love? If they are not, they must be weeded out because this will not be part of a community of love. This will not be part of our community. Why? Because we've been called to love, to kindness, to gentleness, to faithfulness. We cannot walk around, whether face to face or behind a keyboard, saying things that would never be becoming of the body of Christ. So if you've got, let me just say this as well. We have communion coming up next week. One of the things that we do for communion, and communion specifically states this, is if you have beef with somebody, let me clarify. Some of y'all might not know the lingo of millennials, because I don't even think it's Gen Z anymore. But if you've got issues with another brother or sister in Christ, and you come to take part in communion, take care of your problems before you get here next week. Make sure you're cultivating a community of love this week and seek reconciliation in the spaces where you may have gossiped, in the spaces where you may have slandered somebody, where there's been deceit or lying to somebody. So that when you come to partake in one of the most beautiful ordinances that the church is called to, you're coming in with a heart that's free and walking in the identity that Jesus called you to walk in. So, we see in order to cultivate a community of love, love requires seeding, the seed of the gospel in our hearts. It requires weeding out the former things of this world. And then it requires feeding. Love requires feeding. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And it says this. Like newborn babies. Oh, this language is so beautiful. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You know, the songs that we sang and it just matched up so beautifully with what we've been talking about here. Because Peter first gives us a picture, a word picture to help us understand how is it that we can feed in a way that cultivates a community of love. How do we feed and crave on the things? Well, he doesn't tell us to be babies. He tells us to be like babies. Now, if any of you, I love this church because babies seem to just jump out all the time in this church. It's amazing. And I love it. And this illustration doesn't fall far from us here at CPC. Because we understand that even if you, for me, like not having kids, I still understand the craving of a baby wanting the pure milk that comes from their mother. And as spiritual people, as people of the community of God, we are called to crave like newborn babies. But crave what? He says, crave pure spiritual milk. Well, Peter, what does that mean? Good question. Actually, there's been a lot of discussion as I was studying this of what this actually could mean. There's a majority position that says, based on this idea of the preached word of God from verses 125, that this is crave the word of God. And I'd say yes and amen. However, there's this other position where when you read and study on this word, this pure spiritual milk, it's the same word that comes from Romans 12, 1, where it says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Make your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and this is your reasonable act of worship or your spiritual work of worship. And here's what I would say that Peter is trying to get to. It is to crave the things of Jesus. Because I believe that any kind of pure spiritual milk comes from a pure spiritual father that has given us all things that we need for life and godliness, according to 2 Peter, right? We have everything we need for life and godliness. We lack nothing. But here's the reality. You know, I recently found the place in town that has the best clam chowder. Now, for clam chowder, it depends on what you like. But this clam chowder was not heavy. It was light. It was tasty. It was beautiful. And it's from a place called Chowderhead. You're welcome, Chowderhead, if you ever watch our sermon. Watch our sermon because we crave this pure spiritual food and stuff. But I found this place, and it was so good because I had this, and I ate it, and it was like, oh, my gosh, this is so good. And then I got a cheesesteak from there as well. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what a great connection. Cheese, Philly cheesesteak and clam chowder. This is great. And what had happened in me is I began to have cravings for it. I started to, like, crave that clam chowder because I'd tasted and seen that it was good. If you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you can't help but crave it. You can't help but crave the things of the Lord. You can't help but crave the word. And here's the thing. When you open up this word, if you're opening up the word to experience Jesus, he's going to bring it to you. And if you got a craving to walk and talk with Jesus, that means you're going to crave praying to him and yearning to hear from him, whether through his word or whether it's through creation or through the prayers of another person walking in community. Because if as a community we crave the pure spiritual milk that comes from the Lord, we're going to walk in a pure spiritual way. We are going to walk in what our identity is called to be. If we feed on the right things, we'll experience life, and not just life, life abundant. I got to get some fruit off of my garden this year, though. I just wanted to bring it back up. I got some tomatoes, and they were delicious. And it made me think, was this worth it? Was it worth the cultivation? Was it worth the work to plant that seed and then weed out the stuff that was killing my plant and then feed it on regularly with the water than the system that we had for our garden? And let me say, I tasted, and it was good. Those tomatoes were something else. There's nothing better than a homegrown tomato. And let me tell you something. If you want to cultivate a community of love, crave Jesus together. You can crave Jesus alone. That's good. But the problem is that we never experience the person coming alongside with what they're experiencing from the Lord, and then we get some of the nutrients that they're getting from the Lord, and then we grow even bigger, and we grow even more fruitful. We no longer walk in a fruitless life anymore. We walk in a fruitful life because we are experiencing the nourishment that comes from God in his word, coming from the nourishment of our prayer life, coming from the nourishment of the gospel. Church, we need to crave the gospel in our lives, church, because the gospel wasn't just meant to keep us out of hell. It was the very thing that was meant to transform us for the rest of our days. It is the very thing that is to say, Jesus loves this way, I'm going to love this way, and we are going to love this way, and we're going to walk in community and love so that as we walk into the communities outside this community, they are going to experience a community of love because we've cultivated it here. We believe that the work of Jesus is the means by which we experience community, because it's the very thing that unites us together. So church, do not forsake the gathering together. We need each other. And when we cultivate love together, we recognize the seed of the gospel in those fellow believers, and we say, you are a son and daughter of the King because you are part of this imperishable seed. That, isn't it crazy? Think back to Genesis 3 when we seen this promised seed that was going to come, that there's going to be one who crushes the head of Satan. And then we see these little hints all through scripture, whether there's never going to be a prophet like Moses. And then later on down the road, we get a prophet that's better than Moses. And then we have a prophesied king that's going to come from this seed. And this kingdom is going to reign forever and ever and ever. It's going to be part of an imperishable seed. Do you see that the work that we're seeing here in the body of Christ was prophesied way back in Genesis 3? We are part of the great work of God. It is not just this imperishable seed that came to Jesus and he lived, died, and buried, and rose again. He said, now we are partakers of this imperishable seed, and we experience the life of the gospel in us, and we get to grow in the grace of Jesus. So listen, church, show grace in community. Show love in community. And show that we want to cultivate a community of love. And to cultivate a community of love, love requires seeding, love requires weeding, and love requires seeding. Let me pray. Father, you are a God that is so good, a God that is so powerful, that you even gave us a means to walk in life. That you've made us part of the imperishable seed of Jesus. Father, we cannot describe how grateful we are for that. We cannot imagine a greater gift than that. Lord, we are desperate for your community. We are desperate for one another. Lord, would you weed out the things of this world that are planted with the imperishable seed? Would you help us rid the very things that are keeping us from community? And Lord, would we be in a community where we honor both harmony and honesty, where we can be honest with one another and not honest to other people before we're honest with one another? Father, would you cultivate a community of love right here at CPC? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.